Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Our Project Milwaukee coverage continues on Milwaukee Public Radio all week. And before the break, we got a snapshot of the renewable energy mandate for Wisconsin utilities from the state's Public Service Commission. The commission does not make the requirements. It only sees that the standards set by the legislature are carried out. Maria Gallucci writes about the politics of clean energy for the website Inside Climate News. Recently, she wrote about how state legislatures around the country are viewing renewable energy standards. Speaking with Lake Effect's Mitch Teich by phone from New York, Gallucci offered her analysis of how state legislatures are treating clean energy mandates.
It's really kind of a mix. You see, you know, a number of these bills, at last count, there's about 40 that are seeking to either water down or repeal these renewable portfolio standards. But then you also see about 20 or so that are aiming to strengthen the standards. And it's really kind of across the board because some of these bills, maybe they don't really have any legs or there's not much momentum behind them. And in some cases, there is really a concerted effort to get them in place and maybe scale back some of the policies that we have. So it's something that we've seen grow over the past couple of years. Seems to have crescendoed a bit this year in particular, but it really kind of varies depending on where you go.
Well, let's talk about the first side of that, and that's the effort to weaken or repeal the standards at the state level. What do you know about what's behind that effort? Does it come primarily from an ideological standpoint, or are you seeing it as an economic issue for say, companies that are having a hard time meeting standards?
It's really both of those things. I think maybe the majority probably come at it from an ideological standpoint. Legislators who don't think necessarily that the state government should be dictating where the utility companies get their energy supplies. And a lot of this effort has been supported by national organizations like the American Legislative Exchange Council or the Heartland Institute, which oppose these mandates and have been developing model legislation that legislators can use to sort of craft their own policies. But you're also seeing policymakers who are interested in supporting the energy industries in their own districts. In Wisconsin, for example, Representative Andre Dack, I believe, supported a measure to incorporate nuclear power into the state's renewable portfolio standard, and two of the state's three nuclear plants are in his district. So you see kind of this effort to support the energy industries. And also there is an economic concern as well. Companies may be concerned that they don't have the money or the resources to develop renewable electricity as the mandate requires them to do. And so they're looking to either extend or maybe scale back a bit those regulations.
How prevalent are RPS laws around the country in the first place? How many states have them and how long have they been around?
I believe it's 30 states and Washington, D.C. who have RPS laws, and they've been around for a while. The first ones really got off the ground in the late 1990s, but the majority of these standards came about in the early to mid-2000s, and some states have actually gone back in and increased their standards as well. Maybe they started off with modest goals, and they've boosted them, you know, in the years since.
Are we at the point where those standards are actually being met in the states where RPS laws are in effect?
I think it will depend on where you go. I think in some cases, the utility companies very much are on track. I know in California that the three big utilities there say, you know, that they're set to meet the ambitious RPS goal there, which is 30% by 2030, I believe. And so we are seeing actually that utilities are meeting these goals. And so that's sort of interesting to think about these efforts to repeal the standards. Well, a lot of utilities have already factored these mandates into their plans and are already making the purchases and the decisions needed to comply.
Getting back to some of the efforts to repeal laws, you write about at least one effort that challenges the standards on constitutional grounds. I think that's going on in Colorado. What can you tell us about that?
So the American Tradition Partnership, which is a free market advocacy group, filed a lawsuit in 2011 with its sister organization, the American Tradition Institute. And that argues that Colorado's renewable portfolio standard is unconstitutional because it's discriminating against electricity that's generated in other states and perhaps consumed in Colorado. The Dormant Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution says or implies that states cannot regulate economic activity beyond their own border, and thus by making decisions about energy outside of Colorado, this lawsuit is arguing that it's violating that standard.
You also mentioned that there's something like 20 efforts underway on the state level to strengthen standards. What sorts of efforts are those? Is it really just making the standards tougher, or are there other sort of novel efforts underway to encourage the use of renewables?
So actually, the latest one came out of Minnesota. The governor there recently approved a law that creates a solar carve-out, which means that of the percentage of renewables that utilities are required to provide, 1.5% has to come from solar specifically. And some states already have carve-outs like those, and that's really to make sure that certain types of technologies that maybe the public and lawmakers want to see more of get built, and you know, not some of these more traditional sources of renewable energy like large-scale wind farms or, in some cases, hydropower. In New Hampshire, for example, lawmakers there raised the amount of small-scale solar systems that utilities could put on the grid. In some places, there's limits, you know, concerns that too many of these systems will overload the grid, cause complications, and so they put these caps, essentially. In New Hampshire, they raised that cap, which means that utilities can use more small-scale solar to comply with the mandate.
What do we know about public sentiment for these kinds of standards and developing more renewable sources of power?
Well, it seems that there's a variety of polls for anything. It seems that the polls around renewable energy seem to indicate that there is strong public sentiment for renewable energy and taking action on climate change in general. And you folks are really eager to see these types of new technologies be developed and also to see policies that enable them to use them as well, you know, enable folks to get energy-saving retrofits or to install solar panels on the rooftop, something to make it more accessible at the local level.
Maria Gallucci, thank you so much for sharing this story with us.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Maria Gallucci is a reporter for Inside Climate News. She spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke about her coverage of renewable energy in state legislatures. You'll find a link to more information from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Tomorrow on the show, our Project Milwaukee Power Switch series continues with a look at the economics of clean energy, plus new innovations in solar and nuclear power and some opposition to wind power from an unlikely source. And don't forget, on Friday, you can tune in to listen to our Project Milwaukee Forum on the future of clean energy in Wisconsin, recorded in front of a live studio audience at Discovery World. Coming up next, if your kid's idea of summer camp involves staying indoors, perhaps next week's cartoon camp in Wauwatosa would be just the thing. We'll learn more about it when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio. Stay tuned.